What name?
Jesus!
There we go. We want to make sure the devil heard you. Okay? Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to get out and you're going to think, oh, I'm going to go out here and I'm all fired up, right? And you're going to get out those doors and you're going to forget that name. I hope not. Because without the name of Jesus, nobody can be saved. We can't be saved. If he'd never come, where would we be? We'd be trying to futilely find a way to heaven. Eternal salvation. These 100 years we got here, come on. Do we really think we were created to live 100 years and we're space dust? We are unlike anything on this planet. Oh yeah, I know there's some animals, they can think. They got personalities. I mean, look at your dog. He's got a personality. Sometimes I wonder if he thinks. And sometimes I know exactly what he's thinking. But you are special. Well, you came from monkeys. The last time I checked, a monkey didn't build a skyscraper. Didn't build a rocket ship that went to the moon. Circled the earth. They can't think on that. The name of Jesus. We were created in his image, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to know who you are. We've got to get that down. Who you are and whose you are. You do not belong to this world. We are strangers, aliens. Means we don't really belong here in that sense. We're an oddity. If we will take the word of God and dare to stand on it and dare to use the name of Jesus appropriately. I cannot for the life of me figure out why they don't say, oh, Buddha. Come on. Exactly. There's absolutely no power, so what's the point? But folks, I want you to do one thing for me right now. I want you to turn to somebody who is not a family member. Do it right now. Do it now. Move. Some of you, that's going to be a little difficult. The stage up here, there are 5 people related. Now, here you go. I want you to look at him and say,
I love you.
There you go. You've told somebody you love them today. Hallelujah. We can't tell. We come in here and we never say, I love you, which we don't really have to if we're stirring it up. But do you know how many of you felt so good saying it? How many of you, it's been a while since you've said it? Or since you've heard it, yes. Yeah. It means something to us. Just because it doesn't show up where Jesus said, I love you. The Bible says God so loved the world. He loves us. By the way, he loves those out today who aren't serving him. He loves us all. So praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I did have one little announcement. Some of you have been following what I've been talking about. Some of you on Facebook with me already know. But this past week we met with commissioners and Morrow County has now been declared a Second Amendment constitutional protective county. Now, I know you're saying, what does that mean? It's symbolic. You can't, it is symbolic, but it's a message to lawmakers. We aren't going to lay down. Now, I know you're saying, well, Pastor, I don't care about guns. That's fine. I think our founding fathers, I heard somebody the other day say something, and I totally disagree with it. They said the Second Amendment is the most important. Well, if it's the most important, why wasn't it number one? Number one, freedom of speech. Freedom of religion. Those two things right there, ladies and gentlemen, we will fight for. Number two was just a warning. Don't mess with us. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, we didn't have to go with accusing words, although I know there were some in the midst who did, but I'm going to tell you right now, we pray for our commissioners. And, you know, there was one dissenting in the first meeting, and I totally agree with him. He wanted some words changed. Anybody that's ever messed with attorneys or know anything about attorneys, they will twist a word. They will twist words on you. And we changed those words, and people were still bad-mouthing. And I got up on the Facebook page it was on, and I said, listen, he said he would vote for it if we changed those words. It was unanimous. It should be in the paper this week. By the way, we're the first one north of Columbus. We had no opposition, not because, well, it's a redneck town. It's because we pray. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. Folks, this land is hurting. We have got to pray for our president. Don't care what your thoughts on him. We've all got thoughts. I don't care what your thoughts are towards Nancy. Pray for her. She may have stepped over a few lines this past week. But we all forget about Tip O'Neill spitting on the President Reagan speech in 1982. He was fined $20,000 for that. She's going to get fined $40,000 because it's a 10% of the president's pay. But I'm telling you, folks, pray for them. Pray for our leaders. Would you really want to be in their shoes? We have got countries threatening us. They're under a lot of stress. I spent time praying in the spirit about this thing this week. I mean, Tom lives right over here. And the other two I just met. But we prayed for them. And I'm going to tell you right now, this was the last. They didn't need a big stink. And there was enough people thinking about doing it. But we prayed. And God took and moved that thing through. Personally, folks, I know they say Centerburg's the heart of Ohio. Morrow County is. Why do you think the devil wants to destroy it? The drugs running through here. There is human trafficking running through here. Don't think there's not. We can't live in Denial, Ohio. You know, in Mount Gilead in the Bible, it was known for a healing balm. I think it's time Mount Gilead starts to heal the state. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Oh, you know what? Before we do that, Brenda, would you share your little bit of news you shared with me?
Yes, my grandson Brock is in transit to the fire camp.
So praise God. God has moved in his life. Amen. Yeah. Whitney, think you can do it? Listen, don't think for one minute God doesn't hear our prayers. Amen. God moved. I mean, they didn't even know where she was at for the longest time. We've been praying for this young woman. By the way, Mother's Day, we prayed for two young women. Both are about to be parents this year. Amen. Don't tell me God doesn't answer. He hears everything we ask him in faith. Everything. You've got to stand. I'm going to talk to you about some things today. I don't know. I'm excited. Amen. Let's bless the tithe and offering. Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord, to be in your house with your people. Lord, we come as one, lifting up your holy name. And now, Father, we present to you our tithe and our offering. I pray, Lord God, you bless it according to your word, pressed down, shaken together. Lord God, may their bank accounts overflow. Father, and may we remember that we are blessed to be a blessing. Father, that the world will look at us and they will say, you are blessed. That everywhere we turn, we will be blessed. We will be blessed going in a house. We will be blessed going out. Father, wherever we are at, we will be blessed because we honor you. We present it to you today, Father, holy, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. Oh, somebody's got a Yoo-hoo. All right, so this next story, please do not read any theology into it. So it seems one day that General Patton was suddenly gifted by the powers of God. And as he was out looking over creation, he saw an army ranger rowing up the river in his canoe. Or in his raft, as you were. He's rowing up in his raft. General Patton says, I wonder what would happen if I take away a quarter of that man's brain. The guy just kind of jolts a little bit and looks around, puts the paddle back into water, and it's hi, hi, hey, the army's on its way. He keeps on going back, singing his little song. Well, it didn't seem much of a difference. I wonder what it would happen if I take away another quarter of his brain. He will only be operating on half of his brain. So, he hits the ranger, bam. You know, he's a little more dazed this time. He looks around, looking at the situation, sees the paddle, picks it up, sticks it in the water. It's hi, hi, hey, the army's on its way. He says, wow, I wonder what would happen to him if I left him with a quarter of his brain. Bam! This time it lays him out in the raft. Smoke's kind of rolling, and he sits up, looks around, sees the paddle laying on his lap, picks it up, bites it, licks it, looks at it again, turns it over, sticks it into water. From the halls of Montezuma. That is for my army brothers that I have been hard on all these years. I actually saw that on a Marine site the other day. I actually thought it was hilarious. Because as Marines, we know, we've never been accused of intelligence. Hallelujah. I want you folks to know I can make fun of myself, okay? People that can't laugh at themselves are wound way too stinking tight. Live life and enjoy it. Like I said, I bust on my brothers in the Army and the other branches pretty hard sometimes, but it's out of love. Well, we are rep. What was it?
I love you, Lord.
I love you too. Praise God. Well, we are hope. I don't know if we're going to get to totally finish up today, but we are wrapping up our message on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to start at verse 4. So we remember where we're at. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. That's where I'm going to stop there. We are on, let me get back on my pages, I believe it's love bears all things. Oh, sorry. There we are. Yeah, where love bears all things. The word bear means to cover. in the New Testament means to cover over in silence. It's not saying cover up. Like we know what cover-ups are, right? It means we don't go broadcasting. Keith fell, he sinned. He needs to come before the church and repent. No, love doesn't do that. One of the things I learned years ago through a minister named Gabriel Haymans was the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. That's how gentlemen act. The gentleman doesn't go out and broadcast everybody's sins to make themselves look good. We are not called to broadcast. Now, there are times, and here's the unfortunate thing in our day and age, ladies and gentlemen. You live in the public eye, your life is in the public eye. And it can be a sticky situation. Recently, I watched a show containing with an interview with somebody, and I ain't gonna lie, I've been a little critical of the person. But not all the information was out. They chose to keep it all quiet. And unfortunately, when you live in the public, you can't hide everything. But I now understand. I understand this person a little more. And I've prayed for this person. Like I said, I've been a little critical, but I wasn't judgmental over them. At least I don't think I was. We never think we're judgmental, do we? And so sometimes you've got to know the truth. The truth has to come out, like I said, especially if you're in the public eye. All the stuff that's hidden will be revealed. J. Edgar Hoover tried to hide the fact that he was holding information on people, that he was blackmailing people, that he wore women's underwear. Y'all remember All in the Family, right? We need a few more men like J. Edgar Hoover today. Does that sound familiar in the song? You got them. They're out and about. But we started finding out things that were hidden. There's things in Washington that are hidden we may not know until all is revealed. But we have to be very careful with truth. It's nobody's business what happens with Keith. The Bible doesn't tell us, well, Keith sinned, let's crucify him. I hope you don't mind me picking on you today. Harold was in the back, but he's coming up now, so I might pick on him too. Generally speaking, it means to conceal. I can tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, God has revealed things about other preachers and such that I know that ain't none of your business. I wish I didn't know. But I can pray for those men. Love hides the fault of others or covers them is basically what it's saying. Like I said, not a cover-up, not telling lies. That's a cover-up. Love protects the person who's found guilty. The second somebody falls, the church crucifies them. Nowhere is that called for. We're called to restore such a one. When somebody falls, we're called to build them back up. To restore means you tear down the old things and you build up new. Our house, we had a bad foundation on a part of it. It required we jack the house up, dig out the foundation, put new footers, new block, and now we have a good foundation again. We need to understand that as the body of Christ, that's our job. You don't have to be up here, by the way. Not up here. That's everybody's job. That's why I told you to turn to somebody who's not your family member? Because you tell them you love them. You know, and then you got people like Cheryl. She lives at home. Sassy can't tell her, I love you. Yeah, you just know, I get it. Unless you taught your dog, No, but you see, because she was the one that said, and it's good to hear it. We don't think about that. I tell my wife I love her. She tells me. I tell my children I love them. How about somebody who drives me nuts? I'm trying not to make eye contact with anybody. No. We are required to bear. Somebody comes to you with something that's bothering them, it's not your job to go preach screaming it out to the world. I've had two men over the past several, or over the years now, that I have spoken to. Both of them had warrants for their arrest. I told them to turn themselves in. I didn't get on the phone, call the cops. Hey, I know where they're at. I said, you turn yourself in. And they both did. We are not supposed to be the National Enquirer. But that's what we've become. In essence, love does not broadcast other sins. Leviticus 19:16. Love, whoops, you shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. We're not called to be the town criers of all that's bad. If we're going to be the town crier for anything, it's say, hey, Jesus is returning and you need to get your life right. And if that is an anointing on you, then you better get your can out on the square. Who was it we were listening to the other day, and they were talking about the individual anointings on people. Some people are anointed for the street. It takes an anointing. It takes an anointing to do what I do. To speak to you plainly and realize that if I tick you off, I go broke. Do you understand that? I think about it every week. Usually after I already preached. I think, oh Lord, I lost half the congregation. Love goes to a brother or a sister and confronts them. Matthew 18:15-17. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained a brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like an heathen and a tax collector. Is there anybody in here who's got a friend who's an IRS agent? Well, there you go. You don't even have friends that are IRS agents. Nobody raised their hands. By the way, they're hiring. I do know that. You may lose all your friends, but these are the words of Jesus. Not the words of Paul, Peter, John. These are the words of love. If Keith wrongs me, the Bible tells me I got to go to Keith one-on-one and say, hey, man, you really dissed me the other day. Well, he says, tough. I know I did what was wrong, but tough. Get over it. Now let's say it's something that is significant. I'd say, I mean, I know Keith wouldn't lie on me, but I've had it happen. Then he keeps showing up to church. Jesus said, take two or three witnesses, two or three elders primarily, and go to him. And if he will not repent, speak to the hand from that point on. That's what it means, right? That's exactly what it's saying. It's not saying that you can't have association with people that are not sin or that are sinners. People that are preaching that message, just scratch that out of your head. How are they going to hear the word if you're not there? Well, I only associate with believers. Well, I'm so glad to know that the church ain't going to grow old sterile one. The church is called to reproduce. Called you sheep. You know what sheep do? They reproduce. A lot of times, two at a time. We're behind the ball. All it's saying is he can no longer be your closest friends. Your closest friends are the ones who have the most influence in your life. They're somebody you do tell your deep, dark secrets. But they cannot be people that will speak evil into your life. They will be people who will tell you the truth about a situation. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a brother. Somebody close. That means they have no agenda. There's no agenda to tell you the truth, except it's the truth. Leviticus 19:17. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. By the way, who bears the sin? We do. It's called unforgiveness. By the way, I realize I'm pointing these out of Leviticus. This is one of the books that has a ton of laws in it. These are the words Jesus preached from. Why? Because they don't change. By the way, we are still under a law. It's not that law. It's a law of love, which is more stringent. It's harder to walk by. It's easier to say, well, you know what? There's a stop sign. I'm stopping. You're going to stop. I got the right of way. I am not letting you have the right of way. Now, in all honesty, if people, everybody knew the law and would drive at intersections and do what they're supposed to do, these intersections would not be a problem to drive up to. Especially, you might as well get used to roundabouts. You might as well get used to them. There's going to be more. This roundabout ain't squat. Delaware has got a bunch of roundabouts. Licking County's got a bunch of roundabouts. They're a little up in Summit. Dublin. There are roundabouts everywhere. You might as well learn to drive them, baby, because you're going to have to. We may not have to here in this county, but they may be here. And they're not that bad when you know how to do it. Just like running a table saw. First time I did it, I was like, ooh, yeah. I know people ain't got fingers because of these. Now I don't even think twice. Push the start button. We are not to bear the sin of unforgiveness. We have to extend the law of love to everybody. Well, I'm just so upset with Nancy Pelosi for what she did. Yes, it was very childish. Nobody is denying that. What good is it doing you? Or her? Or the country? We get so focused on, well, it upset me so much, I just don't know how I can go on. Oh, please. You can ask Joe back here. He knows history. This stuff's been going on ever since this country started elections. There have been scandals. There have been candidates trying to kill each other. I mean, come on. At least we're out of the gunslinging days of you tick me off, we're going to go out in the street. We are required to live by love. The love I've been talking to you about. We're on Bears. Remember, love is not rude, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked. People today are so easily provoked. Years ago, I taught a message on offense. And in that message, I stated the church, the people in the church are the most easily offended people there is. Oh, I can't believe, I just cannot believe. Okay, you know, I wasn't thrilled about the halftime show either. Let's be honest. Anytime you see a stripper pole coming out, it's not going to be child friendly. There's this button on my remote. On off. I have a right to turn it off. I hate to bust your bubble. It's not going to get any better. That when sin is brought into the public eye and seen as normal, there you have it. It's going to be there. You are going to have to choose to turn it off. I actually watched that game. I thought it was a good game. What I would expect out of a championship game. But you can ask Angela. I didn't know Shakira from J-Lo in the beginning. I'm like, oh, she's not. Oh, I'm surprised. She's actually got clothes on. Well, then as it went further and further, well, it got worse and worse. So I sat there on Facebook. I usually like Marketplace. It's like Craigslist. Except the people don't answer back half the time. Love believes all things. I got to believe everything. It's not talking about garbage. Love rejoices in truth. So what does love believe in? Truth. The word believe there is the word pisteo. If you read in the rest of your Bible, in many places, it's pistis. And I'm not trying to sound dirty. But it means to have faith in, with the idea of hope. The other one means with an expected outcome. This means with the idea, I have a hope. Isn't that what Jeremiah says? For I know the plans I have for you to give you a future and a hope. Hope. Hope is down here. If hope is here, it's no longer hope. I have it. Luke 9:41. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. You'll see where I'm going here in a minute, hopefully. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. First off, he's talking to his disciples. He called them faithless and perverts. Now, our society, the second you mentioned pervert, you think they're sexually twisted. Faithless, well, we get that. They had a lack of faith. As a matter of fact, in Luke 18:8, Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? Faith isn't just believing God for a new car or believing God for this. Faith is believing that God is going to do what he's going to do, what he said he would do. There's a lot of things that's going to happen in this world and people think that they can stop it. There is going to be an Antichrist rise up. There will be wars, rumors. We got wars and rumors of wars now. We got earthquakes in places. I was just talking to my brother-in-law the other day. He was showing us pictures of Mount Pinatubo in the Philippines. He was at Clark Air Base. And, you know, back then, Mount Pinatubo is the volcano that blew up in 91, that erupted in 1991. And it was already missing its top, so it had already blown once. I had just left the Philippines, I mean, like by a week, when that thing blew. And I forget how many hundreds of miles we were. We were about 120 miles away. And they had ash 3 to 4 feet on the runways. I got there right after a major earthquake. Guess what the Philippines are experiencing again right now? Earthquakes, volcanoes. There are earthquakes happening in all kinds of places. I forget where this other one was. It was a 7.7. That's a pretty big deal. There are earthquakes happening. The Bible says that the earth is groaning. Just as our spirit groans, the earth is groaning. And it's telling us Jesus is going to return. You need to take it, ladies and gentlemen. These are the signs of the end. Sin is being glorified. It's being rejoicing. No, they aren't going to put a pro-life commercial on during the halftime. Yes, they will put drag queens on there. Praise God, it was just short blips. But I got news for you. There's a lot of commercials with drag queens you don't know are drag queens. You need to start paying attention. I know one, and it's a mainstream commercial, and it's a transvestite. It's been going on. Now the world thinks that they could create a medicine that will keep you from getting AIDS. Not going to happen. They're thinking their lifestyle is now protected. Whether it's the judgment or God, I don't know. That's not my call. My call is, you better stop. But we have got to start believing. Believing what? Believing all things that God has said for us. There's going to be some bad things happening to the world. Perverse. It means twisted. To perverse. Primarily truth. It twists the truth. I'd like to say Thomas Jefferson was a great, great man of God. Absolutely not. And our history teacher was shaking his head no before I even got it all out. Why? Well, it's life. Do you know he believed in God and had his own Bible written that took out all of the miracles of God? He didn't believe in the power. He believed in a God, but not the power of God. But yet God used the man to protect this country, to establish this country. Benjamin Franklin. Well, most of you know his life. Now it ended. But God used them for good. Doesn't mean I support their life. I don't support some of the things President Trump has done. How can I? They're not godly things. But as I understand, he is a baby Christian. And he is trying to take on a job and is doing a job that I'd like to say I could handle. But if you've paid attention, and Angel and I were talking about this, every president we've had in that did double back-to-back tours, they got real old. So here's the deal. You want to complain about him going golfing? That's stress relief. Can you imagine being on call 24/7, 365? You might get 2 or 3 hours of sleep a day. I don't really care. Go golfing. At least he's going to his own course. He owned the course. Not like people were losing money because of it. The word bear. We just talked about love bears all things, right? Your King James says suffer. How long shall I suffer? Again, in my opinion, another bad word to be translated into our English, especially when it means to keep from falling. Did you hear me? How long shall I keep you from falling is what he's told them. I read one commentary on this that said, how long shall I put up with you? Yeah. What? It's not even what it says. How long do I have to keep holding you up? He's trying to get them to understand, hey, boys, I'm leaving soon. I've got to get you to grow up. By the way, you know, when your kids are seniors in high school, worst time to try to get them to grow up. And I'm not saying, if you didn't do anything the first 11 years of their life in school to start moving them up each step, giving them responsibilities, teaching them about finances, letting them make their mistakes and pay the price. I'm just going to go bail my kid out every time. No. Anytime my boys have done stupid things, I've known some of the things they did. Why? I wanted to go with them. But I told them, if you get caught, you are paying the price. So don't get caught. And they weren't illegal things. They're just things that some people get their drawers all knotted up about. And when they got caught, they paid the price. But it means to keep from falling. Love fills in where you fall short. Remember Peter? Walking on the water deal. Bible says suddenly a storm rose up. And they look out. They're fighting. They're trying to get across. They should have done been across. Let me point out something. Did you know that storm was not sent to stop them? The storm was sent to stop Jesus. The Bible says he came walking on the water. The storm wasn't getting its way. Jesus just happened to walk by his disciples. He was going to walk by them. Think about that for a second. He knew that they had what they needed. The Bible says just a little bit of faith. They looked out. It's a ghost. Okay, ghost, if you are who you say you are, tell me to come out on the water. Am I the only one that sees the fallacy to that statement? Oh, sure, come on out. I'm the lion spirit, but come on out. And he walked out there, and the Bible says he was walking on the water, and then he started focusing on, instead of focusing on Jesus, he focused on what was going on around him. And realized in his brain housing group, men don't walk on water. We sink. And it says immediately he began to sink. Now, if you've got a good religious Bible, like we all have, and I'm talking about the pictures inside them, they're always very so conservative. Every picture I've seen of Jesus pulling Peter out of the drink, he's in waist deep, right? That's the main picture I see. He's reaching out and he's waist deep. I saw a picture the other day that just smacked me in my religious thinking. His hand was below the water. That Jesus reached down even through the water. So, and we don't know where he was at, okay? Just as he began sinking and cried out. But when was the last time you tried to walk on water, and how long did it take you before you went under? You sink pretty fast. And I ain't going to lie, the heavier I get, the faster I sink. No. So he probably very well could have been underneath the waves, and Jesus still reached down below it and pulled him out. Jesus, love personified, filled the void where Peter fell through. He pulled up Peter and he says, where was your faith? Why did you doubt? Why? Why did you not believe? Love fills in. Love fills in where we fall short. That's what we're called to do for each other. That's why, hey, brother, I need prayer. Pray for me. That's why we have War on the Floor. And anytime you need prayer, get hold of us. We will pray. We will believe. Because that's what we're called to do, is hold each other up. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. Yeah, you may not know everybody in here. Some of them you may not, you may have known and didn't get along with before. None of that matters. Every unit I was at, you had people from California, Alaska, Florida. We had some from the Cape Verde Islands off the coast of Africa. Maine, New York, a ton from Ohio. Believe it or not. Texans. You got boys from Georgia, from the swamps, the Okefenokee Swamp. All different walks of life, all different colors, all different shapes and sizes. Some of them we didn't like. But I can promise you this. There was one thing somebody from outside of that platoon didn't do. And that's mess with those within the platoon. At my last unit, they stuck me behind a desk for my last year. That's what happens when you show that you can think outside the box and you got half a brain. See, most of them got quarter. I had half. So they stuck me behind a desk. Well, they threw these new guys in there to try to teach them the jobs we were doing. And we had this ongoing thing with wrecker section. We like to call them tow truck section. They didn't like that. And one of our clerks went down there that took care of their stuff, went to their office, and was, I don't know what he did. He was mouthy, little Lance Corporal. Most Lance Corporals are very mouthy. And these guys, you know, they're used to throwing big chains and big steel bars up on, you know, this high. So they're pretty strong for the most part. And there were six of them. And I had one of the guys from one of the other platoons come by and say, hey, you better get down there and help. I can't remember his name now. I can see his face. Help so-and-so. I'm like, are you kidding me? I went running down there. And there he is, man. There's six of them guys around him, and they've got the duct tape. Any Marine worth his weight knows what duct tape means. It's not going to be a good day. We had a water line that hung from the ceiling. I jumped up, grabbed the water line, and soaked all six of them down. They let go of him, and the two of us ran. He was a mouthy little person. But he was my mouthy little person. Peter was Jesus's weak of faith person. Your brothers and sisters around you, they're your people. Pray for them. Lift them up. By the way, I did pay for that. I paid dearly. 2 days later, I was a shop lockup that month. 2 days later, I was at formation. I got a call. I needed to go open the shop up. And we had to go pick up a truck. I go down there. Corporal Suds was there. He was going to take a truck and go retrieve one. And I go into the office, flip on the lights, and I'm standing there. Suds walks in one door. Five other Marines walk in the other door. Now, could have done this one of two ways. Could have fought or just realize it's over. I'd like to say, yeah, I took on five Marines. They know everything I know. They know where to grab, twist, and pull. I just said, all right, this ain't going to be worth it because I'll bite. I sat down. Now, this one Lance Corporal, he did something. And I looked at him and I said, you will not do that. And he was messing with my cover. You don't mess with a Marine's cover. That's his hat, for those of you who don't know. They sat me down in the chair, duct taped me to the chair, duct taped my arm up like this, put the phone in my hand, duct taped it to the chair, duct taped the phone to my hand, and put my cover on me and took a picture. I'm like, yeah, this is great, guys. So I let off the thing, called my company office and called my sergeant and said, "Hey, I need you now." He came in. He was a brother in the Lord. He went to our church. He came in and laughed and laughed. By the way, he was also a drill instructor. So I don't remember, but I think we did get a few more licks in on him. But what I'm saying is, folks, you stick together. That's what love does. Same as any football team, basketball team, whatever. I may not like the guy. That's my teammate. You can watch any team. Somebody gets hurt, gets a cheap shot. There's one I watched, Rob Gronkowski. Guy got a cheap shot and out of bounds, and Gronk just came flying in, and he dove like this. Totally cheap shot. Got him in a lot of trouble. But that's his teammate. Why are we throwing our teammates away? Why are we not praying for him? Why are we not filling in for him? Yeah, that's a cheap shot in football. I get it. But we're doing it in life. Well, you know what? It's what they get. We done talked about that. Don't rejoice just because somebody's getting their harvest. Pray for them. Because I promise you, there's not one person in here who can raise their hands and say that they were the prim and proper, like right little angels all their life. Love does not even hear that you are unworthy. He fills in. Think I'm kidding? The parable of the prodigal son. The son said, "I'll go back, tell my father, I am unworthy. I have sinned against you." And all he was able to get out is, "Father, I have sinned against you." Father never heard, "I'm unworthy." He said, "Bring a ring, put it on his hand, put shoes on his feet, put a robe on, kill the fatted calf for just such an occasion." That's what love does. It rejoices. And it fills in and does not hear because it believes what it knows. Love only hears and believes what the Father of creation says. Love acts on what it believes. Truth. A situation may have facts, but facts aren't necessarily truth. "Oh, Lord, I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace." That's hogwash. The Bible says, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. What's that mean? They died. They're dead. Things that are dead are not what they were. People that are buried in the ground, they aren't what they were. They've even changed. Behold, all things are new. You're a new creation in Christ. Love does not believe facts. "Well, I'm a murderer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a liar. I'm a thief." Yeah, you probably were. Old things have passed away. Why still have these desires? Crucify them. Get in your Bible. Why don't I want to steal? Because I don't want to take what belongs to somebody else. Why don't I want to lie? Because I don't want to pervert the truth. Why don't I want to have an affair on my wife or my husband? Because I told them I'd love them. Why don't I want to kill? I don't want to take somebody's life. I may send them to hell for eternity. Can you bear with me a few more minutes? Hopes all things. To hope with desire. A burning desire. Romans 8:25. "But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance," with endurance. This is one of the only places that this exact word was used. Hope in the other ones is a different word, but this is the exact same one. It means with desire. A burning desire. In a good sense, lust. It's that kind of desire. You see a car. Ooh, you start drooling. I'm going to stick with the car, okay? I could just see myself driving that car down the road, top back. I guess anymore if it's a new one, it's... I could just see myself in that car. Man, I'd look cool driving that car. And then it burns. You start putting the posters up all around your room. They used to hate me in the library. They'd pick up a magazine and all the cool pictures were cut out. But they were on my wall. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about the things that we haven't seen yet. If we have it, then there's no hope. We've got it. We have the hope of glory. That's what we're all holding on for. Well, I got salvation. It's right here. I know it. Really? Then why is it the hope of glory? I have the hope of that. The bill will be paid in total in the end. It's payable on death. It's not a hope without means of attaining the goal. It doesn't mean that there's no way to get there. You know how many people, you ever heard anybody, you say something, they say, I hope so. Anybody said it? Yeah, we all have. You didn't hope. As a matter of fact, the negative connotation of your voice even said you didn't hope. How's the team doing, coach? Well, I hope we got it. Hope we can win the championship. Well, do you? Do you really hope? Some of them know. Sometimes you do get a bad team. They just don't have a chance. I just hope we win one game. Love endures all things. Let me read you something about the word endure. It's the word hupomene. It means to hold one's ground in conflict, bear up against adversity, hold out under stress, stand firm, persevere under pressure, wait calmly and courageously. It is not the passive registration to fate and mere patience, but the active energetic resistance to defeat that allows calm and brave endurance. Love fights with all its worth. The Battle of New Orleans, most of us know a little bit about that. A couple years ago, I read something that I'd never known. There was a detachment of Marines with that fight. Marines were the ones that honed in primarily on marksmanship. They were put on ships and they'd shoot the officers. British thought that was cheap shot. Don't shoot our officers. They're better than you, better than every other guy. Well, we knew that if we shot the officers, they didn't stand a chance to fight. If anybody knows the song by Johnny Horton, said, we stood beside our cotton bells, bales. Stood beside our cotton bales, and we didn't say a thing. They literally let the redcoats, the British Army, march to where they could see the whites of their eyes, and they were concealed. And when they got to where they could see, they dropped a hammer. And they sent the British Army. They fought them so hard that they went back. They retreated. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what love does. I read this weekend in a little article about a Vietnam vet received the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was a 1st Recon Battalion Marine. He was an officer. He had 18 men with him. In this battle, they were in up close to North Vietnam. And they got surrounded. And I believe it was at least a company to maybe a battalion size unit that ambushed them. They were surrounded. The Marines fought with everything they had. They threw every grenade they had. And there were three different attacks that they survived. The first one, they got down. They fired everything they had. Threw every grenade, and when that battle was over, between 18 men, they had 8 rounds of ammunition. 8. You know how that lasts? How long that lasts in an automatic weapon? You're out of ammo. 8 rounds of ammunition. The next round, they had to let them get close. They had 8 bullets. Yeah, you can snipe them, but when you're going up against hundreds, and there's 18 of you, the next round was hand-to-hand combat. Fix bayonets, use your K-bar, fight. Use your E-tool, bite, cheat, whatever you got to do to live. These men fought for each other. They were waiting for helicopter support. The North Vietnamese made one more run. They got up to the edges, and somebody could speak English from North Vietnam said, "Marines, you die now." When the North Vietnamese got close enough, there were 12 left alive. The Marines started laughing. They started laughing. They began laughing. The North Vietnamese had no idea what was going on. And it stopped them in their tracks. The helicopters came in. The helicopters started taking some fire. They waved them off until they could get around. The helicopters were able to get the NVA off. And they dropped them down. They said, "We have no idea. Somebody just started laughing. I mean, come on. There's 12 of you left and there's 200 people out there ready to kill you. And you start laughing." You know what happened? They thought they were crazy. They had already held off. There was, I think it was a battalion, because if I remember right, there was 200 NVA dead and 6 Marines gone, lost. That's why they thought twice on that third attack, because most of them died in hand-to-hand. I'm here to tell you, folks, love does that. It digs in. It may not seem conventional what God will do for you, but know this. He'll fight harder than any Marine will. He'll fight harder than any Green Beret, any Navy SEAL. He loves you that much. As a matter of fact, he already gave his life for you. You just need to receive what he did. Jesus is not on a cross. He didn't go to that cross to condemn you. He took that cross to free you. And last but not least, love never fails. Love will always come through. Amy Grant sang a song back in the day, "Love Will Find a Way." We're not talking about the "Oh, I love you, baby. I know you want this for Valentine's Day. I'll find a way to get it." Well, if you got to find a way to get it, you can't afford it, so knock it off. Live within your means. Not struggling the rest of the year is much better. Love will find a way. Love will do what needs to be done in your life. Know that. God's not going to let you fall short. He said he'll hold you up. Something tells me that's my granddaughter. I love it. Don't let the devil tell you you're not worthy. for God to come to your rescue. Don't let it happen. God will send every force he's got to your aid if you only believe. And that's what love does. And that wrapped it up. You and I are called to love. Sometimes love does have to get a little violent. I have no problem with that. But like our Constitution says in the First Amendment, speech. Because here's something I understand. The weapons I wield in the spirit in prayer are far more deadly than my .30-06, my 12 gauge, my 9 mil. God has given us the power to speak to those things and speak life and truth into them through love. Don't ever forget it. All right, let's stand. Thank you for letting me finish that up. It only took you a couple more minutes. It might have taken me that long to get past three closings, so. But folks, we talked earlier. We got Brock. God turned his situation around. Matt, Michelle, Josh, and Whitney. Bible says we will reap if we faint not. Yes. We will harvest if we will endure. And lastly, having done all to stand, stand. Yes. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I give you all the praise, all the honor, Lord, do you. Father, it is you and you alone who has established our steps. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love. I thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, I thank you for coming. Lord God, right now, I pray that you open the eyes, you open the hearts, Lord God, of these people, that they may know how much they are loved. Father, when the devil tells them that nobody likes them, nobody loves them, Father, may they rise up and say, that is a lie from the pit of hell, and I send you back. For I am loved. I am special. And my heavenly Father is the creator and the ultimate master of the universe. So, Father, we thank you now. We receive, Lord God, what you've done for us. Lord, healing to our hearts, healing in our bodies, Lord, right now. Father, we pray for those today that are sick. Lord, we pray that you minister life to their bodies in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing. I ask, Lord, that you continue to move in our lives. Now, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them, Lord God. Father, may they receive everything you have said about them. Lord God, when the devil reminds them of what they've done, remind him that they are a new creation. Lord, bless them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.